and welcome to the Sermon Recap Podcast. My name is Pierce, and I'm here with our pastor and this previous weekend's teacher, Gary Singleton. And Gary kicked us off in a new series that we're calling Jesus in the Old Testament. And Gary, yes. You literally went to the beginning.
The right? very beginning, yeah. Genesis 1:1.
Yeah, and your sort of take-home line, again, for me, was God created us on purpose for a purpose.
That's right.
But before we really get into your sermon, I want to ask you something about something that you mentioned in the beginning, because I think it's critical to our understanding of this entire series. But you used a big word, Christo hermeneutics, right?
Christocentric hermeneutics.
Christo, to make it even bigger.
Yeah.
Christocentric hermeneutics, which essentially is as you read Jesus in all 66 books, all throughout the Old Testament, and talk to us about why it's so important for us to have that sort of lens, to have a Christocentric lens as we even read through the Old Testament.
Yeah. Well, I would say because number one, Jesus told us that's the lens that he wants us to read the Old Testament through. Moses wrote about me. He said the prophets wrote about me. And so if Jesus tells us that it's about Jesus and we interpret it any other way, then we're going to be interpreting it incorrectly.
Sure.
Right?
Right.
And so I would say we need to have that because Jesus told us that's that's the way we need to interpret it. But then just, I mean, even backing up just a step back from that, you know, it's all about Jesus. I mean, you know, it's the, I quoted Timothy Keller, and I just love the quote. We tend to read the Bible as about us, and then we'll read it about what we need to do to be right before God. And Timothy Keller's right. It's all about Jesus, and it's all about what Jesus did to make us right with him. And we're going to miss that. And then the problem is, if you miss that, and you think it's all about you and what you need to do to be right before God, you live this life that's just bound by legalism and fear, because we fear we never do enough. But if you read God's word and understand it's who Jesus is and what he's done for us, and all we do is receive it by grace through faith, it frees us. And we know that we're accepted and chosen and loved.
Well, and what's the value of the Old Testament if you don't have a Christocentric hermeneutics?
Right. Exactly. What's the point of it?
And
right.
I like legit was trying to think and answer that. And because in my own processing of that question, I actually wrote that question, which I rarely do while listening on Sunday. I think, oh, it'll be fun to dive into this. Right. And then I started to think, well, why do I have a Christocentric hermeneutics? And it's, frankly, it's because I think that there's value in the Old Testament, obviously understatement of the year,
right?
But that value comes from the arrows that point to Jesus littered throughout the Old Testament.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. I mean, this Sunday, Easter Sunday, we're going to be looking at Abraham offering up Isaac, and it's just a sketch of Easter.
It is.
And it's 2,000 years before. Look, we're 2,000 years after. And just as Abraham was pointing to the cross, why do we think that's so amazing? Because 2,000 years after, guess what we're doing?
Yeah.
We're pointing back to the cross. He was pointing forward to the cross, but we're all pointing to the cross.
Well, and this is not set up. I'm doing this on the fly, but I got to hear the sermon this morning, a group of us do on Thursdays. And I promise you,
today's Tuesday.
Tuesday, you're right. We did it a little early for our production team.
Yeah, I was just throwing that in there.
Because we love him.
Yeah.
But this Sunday, you got to be there because I promise if you've been to 35 Easter Sundays like I have, you've never heard an Easter message like this, or at least that's my guess. And well, if you've attended Heights most of your life as I have, then I'm probably speaking from the same perspective. But it's going to be really, really cool to see, as Gary said, how Genesis 22, how it illuminates the cross in a way that I was like, I have never heard this. And I was like embarrassed by that. I've been to seminary. You tell me I didn't go to a good seminary, so maybe that's the problem.
I went to a great seminary. I know.
But it's going to be really, really cool, especially you want to talk about Christocentric hermeneutics. You want to see it in the pulpit in front of you, then make sure you're here on Sunday. So, but back to this past Sunday, like we said, the whole idea was God created us on purpose for a purpose. And you really dug into this sort of idea, and I would almost call this joy of whenever we realize that God created us with purpose, And he gifted us, he uniquely wired us with purpose to exercise our giftings for the proclamation of his kingdom, that's when life gets beautiful and sweet and it's fun. But a lot of us, we don't know fully how God is wiring us. Or maybe you're listening, it's like, well, I'm an accountant and I'm really good with numbers and I don't know how God could use my numbers brain for his kingdom. How do we discern sort of the gifts that God has given us?
Yeah. Just to reset the sermon, you know, Jesus created you on purpose, for a purpose.
Right.
And you're talking about the on purpose part of the sermon. And I said, you know, just think in terms of uniquely. God created you uniquely, fearfully and wonderfully. So that if we have this tape playing in our head, which so many of us, and I don't say them or they, it's us, right, including me, we have this tape playing that's all filled with comparison. And am I good enough? Am I doing it like them? Do I have this gift, that gift? And we tend to, you know, either become very proud, and the only way we become proud is if we compare ourselves to somebody that we have more maybe gifts than they do, or we become very just defeated,
insecure,
because we compare ourselves to people who have more giftedness than we do. But either way, the comparison is just not healthy. And so I'd answer your question in a couple of different ways. First of all, there's, you know, think in terms of who am I in God's eyes? Because I remember saying in the sermon, humility is seeing yourself through God's eyes. It's not so much thinking less of yourself, and it's not even just thinking of yourself less, but it's seeing yourself through God's eyes. And so that's one discussion that we could have, and just go to Ephesians chapter 1. It's my go-to. You know, whenever I just feel like I'm a failure, I'm a loser, I'm not any good, I just go to Ephesians 1, and I'm reminded I'm chosen, I'm beloved, my inheritance is Jesus. Jesus I'm Jesus's inheritance, and just imagine that and let that see. I'm redeemed, you know, I'm beloved. I mean, just go right down through Ephesians chapter 1, and I always go back to that, and that's how I see myself through the eyes of Jesus, through the eyes of God. And I think that's so important. I think you're asking a little bit the accountant and, okay, so I'm good with numbers. What can I do?
Yeah, sure.
I would encourage that accountant, first of all, to go back and make sure, okay, an accountant is what you do. It's not who you are.
Yeah,
and
that's such a good point.
Who you are is you're chosen, you're beloved. And so see yourself, just understand how God created you on purpose. Don't give up on that and chew on that like a dog chewing on a bone until you can say, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And oh, by the way, God, wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. But then when you get over here to, okay, this accountant, what can this accountant, how does he know his giftedness or she know her giftedness to serve God? And that would go back, I'm sorry to give such a long answer.
No.
But that would kind of go back to what we were talking about, identifying your spiritual gift by looking at what you're good at.
Yeah.
What do you have an aptitude for, an ability for? What do you have a passion for?
Mm-hmm.
You may be good with numbers, but you hate
accounting.
Accounting. Yeah. So that's probably not your spiritual gift. And so, you know, what do you have an aptitude for? What are you passionate about? And then what do you receive affirmation from others? In other words, I could be really passionate about something and think that I'm good at it, i.e. speaking.
Or like golf.
Or golf. Oh, wow. I could really be passionate about golf and fool myself into thinking that I have an aptitude
for it. Which happens every once in a while.
Yeah. But anyone who ever saw me play would not affirm me and go, you're so good at golf, right? And so there really is that the feedback of others going, that really helped. And so, you know, wherever all of those roads intersect is probably your giftedness. But again, that's, you know, you and I were talking about, is that your identity? Is preacher my identity or is it my gift? And I kind of think it's both.
I agree.
It's who I am, who God's made me to be, but it's also what I do. It's not who I am. So I could talk out of both sides of my mouth.
Well, and maybe is it a little bit, you know, sometimes we talk about general calling, specific calling.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And so we all have some general identity markers. Ephesians 1, as you were mentioning, And so we both take all that Ephesians 1 says to us, and that sort of becomes the foundation of our identity, but then it sort of blossoms in different ways, maybe based on some of our gifting and our aptitude and our spiritual mm-hmm. gifts and what we've been affirmed in,
yeah,
possibly, to a more specific calling,
right.
I guess.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. What do you recommend for someone who's maybe hearing this for the first time, that okay, so God created me on purpose, right? Yeah. And I'm starting to believe there's I'm starting to really believe that, but I don't know what kind of my next step is. You know, how does someone go about sort of figuring out, okay, yes, passions, you kind of answered that, but also where's there a place for that in the church?
Yeah. Yeah, great question. I don't know that I have a great answer, but I do. I would want to just repeat myself long enough to say, I wouldn't rush past the on purpose just to get to for a purpose. And for a purpose is kind of the calling, you know, of that equation. God's calling you to do something. He's calling me to preach, and He's calling all of us to serve Him and to build the kingdom of God in some shape, form, or fashion. And that's, I think, what you're asking. How do we get at that? How do we discover that? But don't try to discover that so much that you rush past the on purpose. And,
right.
and again, going back to fearfully and wonderfully made, until you can authentically say in your soul, God created me fearfully and wonderfully, and wonderful are your works, God. I have to acknowledge, I'm telling you, God, with all due humility, you did great because you created me a unique, one-of-a-kind original. And God, even though I may or may not think this or see this, I believe that I can reveal to others something of your likeness, something of your image that no other person in all of creation for all of eternity will be able to reveal. And if that's your motivation, now, okay, what is my purpose? Well, your purpose is to reveal something of who God is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And now it's almost secondary where that is. Is that serving in this ministry? Is that rocking a baby? Is that greeting in a parking lot? Is that driving a golf cart? I mean,
it's liberating because you suddenly realize any and everything's an option within reason. But when you really live out of the purpose in which you've been created, the world is your oyster when it comes to living out that purpose and serving. I love that.
Anywhere you are, anything you're doing, it's not secular and sacred. The truth is everything becomes sacred. And in your job as an accountant, you can be right there revealing to others a glimpse of God, the likeness of God, something of the image of God that nobody else on the planet could ever reveal.
Yeah.
And so, man, that is your on purpose for a purpose, or that's your for a purpose part, you know, once you get the on purpose.
Yes. Yeah. And once you get the on purpose, I really do think that following Jesus is no more fun than doing what you love. And if that's accounting, if that's coaching little league sports, if it's cycling, then you get to do that as an opportunity to sort of be on mission.
Yeah.
So you're taking what you love, what you've been created for,
100%.
And you're leveraging that as your mission. I mean, can life be much sweeter than that?
And it really does get back to the as you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make disciples, right? Now I'm the pastor of a church. So I would always come back to say, Jesus did say, I will build my church.
Sure.
Now, church is the body, it is people, it is making disciples and then discipling them. But I also believe that God has given distinct gifts to the body.
Yeah.
As well. And so there's, I agree with what you're saying, I think is 99% what God is getting at. But let's remember that rocking a baby, a greeting in a parking lot, where we are sustaining a gathering, we are causing a gathering of believers to thrive. I believe God wants to use that accountant. He wants to use that accountant in his body as well,
absolutely,
as in the world. But I love the point that I think we're both making, and that is once you realize the on purpose part, then you can live out the for a purpose in your accounting firm or on the golf course or wherever else.
That's so good.
So, yeah.
Well, Gary, final question.
Shoot.
It's Easter week.
Yes.
Tell me your thoughts on Peeps, marshmallow Peeps. They come out once a year at Easter. Do you hate them or do you love them?
Love them.
Really?
Well, yeah. Okay.
I know. I know disrespect.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You're wrong. I think they're awful, but thank you.
Yes. If it has sugar in it, I love it.
That's honestly.
Yeah.
That's what I tell my kids. Yeah. I've never met a sweet I didn't like.
Yes.
It's unfortunately
true. Yeah, sadly true for me. Yeah.
Well, hey, thank you so much for encouraging this past week. And again, I know I mentioned it, but make sure you're here on Sunday. It is going to be a really, really fun morning as we celebrate all that Easter means, the empty tomb. We are Easter people, as Augustine said. And so come and celebrate with family on Sunday.
Amen.
All right. Thanks, Gary.
You bet.